future Golf Hall of Famer Jim Furyk is going to call in the next few moments. And you look over his golf resume, his professional resume. He's been playing during the Tiger and Phil era, and the of them, right? The two of them have been the faces of golf for the past 20 years. But Furyk is not far behind. Like, he's in that next layer. He was, I just read earlier this afternoon, he was ranked in the top 10 worldwide for over 440 weeks between 99 and 2016.
Wow.
That's no joke with the players that were, you know, Ernie Els and Davis Love and Phil Mickelson and those guys. He would have been right there.
Yep, he was. And he was the PGA Tour Player of the Year back in 2010. He won the U.S. Open in 2003.
FedEx Cup.
FedEx Cup, absolutely.
You know what's crazy? Like, how old do you think he is?
He's 50-something.
Yeah, I have the answer if you're
49.
49.
He's a year older than I am.
Right.
Actually, yeah, he's a 70 birthday. I'm a 71. Like, I would have thought he was older because he's been around that long, not because of how he looks or anything, just because he's been such a big name for so long.
Yeah. He's been playing, exactly. Like, if you've been tracking golf for 25 years, Jim Furyk's just been a part of the conversation.
Yeah,
day in, day out.
Right. He will chew up if he decides. I think some of these guys that have made so much money, you got to wonder what their thoughts are on going to the senior tour, but the senior tour is starting to be real competitive, some real good players out there.
Well, how much money is available on the senior tour? Like, it's a drop, clearly, a significant drop.
Oh, it's a significant drop. But if you ask Bernhard Langer how his life's been the last 10 years playing on the senior tour, I think he'll tell you it's been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the winner's check is probably $300,000 or $400,000 as opposed to 1.6 or 1.7 million. But when you're 50 years old, what else are you going to do? What else do you know how to do?
Don't they have side money, too? Like, don't you show up early to do, I don't know what it's called, like a corporate
game? They have
game?
A pro-am, but that's a part of the tournament. That's part of your obligation.
Yeah, a lot of it, like, these guys are all sponsored, right? Like, Furyk's an RBC guy,
mm-hmm.
So he plays at every Canadian Open, and he would do a lot of different meet and greets, and he'd play around or play nine or go for dinner with different bigwigs that are in town, wherever the tournament is.
Yeah, you know, don't forget, he's had fluff on his bag, Tiger Woods' first caddy. He's had fluff on his bag for the whole ride. Jim Furyk.
Right. Well, and he also, like, I know we're breaking down his resume before he even comes on. Only guy in history to shoot 58 on tour. A 58, which is the lowest score for a single round in PGA Tour history.
Yeah, in a competitive round. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, wonder if he had at the Travelers.
I wonder what type, like, is it fair to ask him, like, you know, what type of night he had the night before or anything like that? Like, is it just everything fell into line that day?
If he went out and had a massive night the night before of 58.
That's what I mean. I don't want to, like, you know, the David Wells, the Dougie Gilmore. Like, I don't want to.
I don't know if you can do that on a golf course. I just don't know.
Yeah, that would. You're leaking oil, man.
Oh, you got, like, the jitters. You're shaking. You can't chip.
Yeah. Yeah, playing golf hungover is tough.
I'm sure there are guys who do it on tour. It may probably not make a habit of it, but I would think that there are some guys
maybe
who enjoy
a
themselves.
Slump, yeah, maybe there's a slump buster element where if you're just hacking it around, you got to go out and just get drilled at some club.
I kind of hope that's the story behind the story. When you shoot 58, I hope you did something very different the night before. Doesn't even have to be booze, maybe not even at the bar. You changed up your routine. And the next day you shot 58 on the PGA Tour. Well, he's on the line, so let's get to it. We've been breaking down his resume. Future Golf Hall of Famer, U.S. Open winner in 03, FedEx Cup winner, PGA Tour Player of the Year in 2010, and the only guy in PGA history to shoot 58 on a round. He's an RBC ambassador, as we pointed out. Here is Jim Furyk. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. We were just talking about when you shot 58 at the Travelers. Was there any difference in your routine the night before? Did you mix up anything that led to that performance or what?
No. If it were that easy, we'd do it all the time, right?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Nothing different. Nothing different. I was on the road for a bunch of weeks. I was just anxious to to kind of get out of Dodge and get home, I was tied for 70th in an event. So it was really, trying to figure out how early a flight I could get home.
Jim, the game's a lot different now, but I'm sure it's changed over the years. But is our guys pretty, three hockey players on this show, and back in the old school days, guys that go out for beers or whatever before a game, are guys pretty quiet now? Is there anybody on tour that kind of enjoys themselves the night before playing a tour event, or are they all pretty quiet?
I don't think you see as much of that on a Thursday, Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. I think when a week's over, you'll see some guys go out on a Sunday or Monday or go have a good time or have a couple drinks, but and kind of blow off steam as far as, the week's over. And during the week of, I don't think you see that too often.
Well, you just touched on something that we've joked about on this show before, is, if you're struggling on Thursday and Friday, or you just sneak into the cut and you're playing and you wake up on Sunday morning and you're out, you're out of contention. How do you rev up the engine? Like, again, you shot a 58, and like you said, you weren't in contention. Everything just connected for you. But how difficult is that when you just sneak over the cut line and you're like, I don't have a shot at winning this tournament. How do you get revved up for that?
Well, it's a couple things. I mean, I'd still rather finish 30th and 50th or 15th and 25th. So, I mean, there's a pride issue to it that you want to play well. And if you're on a streak of two, three, four events in a row, you may not be playing well in week one or week two, but, if you get out there and you work hard on Saturday and Sunday and you grind it out, you might find something in your game, or you might play a couple good rounds that carry over to the next week, and then you may go, you may go low the next week and have a really good event or win. So, I think you're always, you may not be in contention that week, but you're still working for, I don't have it right now, but where is it? And you're working towards that.
Jim, you speak about grinding it out. You're one of the ultimate grinders in the history of the PGA Tour. How difficult did you find it, grinding it out and playing your own game? I know you're not the longest driver of the golf ball. How many guys did you play with where you were like, I'm going to focus on my own game, but was there a couple guys where you're like, man, that's way by mine, that's quite a distance, or you just don't even think about how long guys hit it now?
No, I got over the distance thing a long time ago, early in my career. I mean, we're all chasing yardage. Even the longest players are chasing yardage because everyone's getting longer year in and year out, but no, I got over the fact that folks hit it by me early in my career, but I still watch. I mean, it's fun to see guys bomb it and hit it far. And, you play with, guys that kind of intrigue me are like a Bubba Watson. I mean, he's aiming sometimes 50 yards right of a fairway, and he's hitting this giant slice in the middle of the fairway. And it looks like, it looks like it can't go anywhere. And you get out there, and it's 40 or 50 yards by you. It's just interesting. He takes lines that no other player does, and he curves the ball so much more. So there's players like that, or if you play with a Cameron Champ, a guy that has the most speed on the PGA Tour, it just has a different sound. So there's guys that do things that no one else can, and you definitely find yourself watching them because it's fun.
With longtime member of the PGA Tour, RBC ambassador Jim Furyk, I think for the past 20, 25 years, a lot of people on tour have been watching your swing and how different it is, how unorthodox it is, with the same, amount of awe. Like, how's he pulling this off? How is he connecting, and how is he dominating the way he's dominating? How many people over the course of your career have tried to give you a tip on your swing, or talk to you about your swing and how you make it work?
I think that would have happened. The tip would have happened when I was younger. No one ever really criticized me when I was younger. My dad was my teacher. He was a golf professional. I think he probably had a few folks ask him, well, what are you doing here? This kid's swing looks different than everyone else's. But we really worked hard on my fundamentals and my grip, my setup, my posture, my alignment, and returning the club back to square. And, I do it differently, but my dad was always, I guess, adamant that whatever comes natural is repeatable. So it looks different, but because it's natural to you, you'll be able to repeat it often, and you'll be able to repeat it under pressure. And he was right. I think that if I had to, if I tried to go back and change my swing and make it a color by numbers and make it look like everyone else's, I think it would have broke down under pressure for me because it just was so unnatural.
Jim, how awkward or how different is it for you and your colleagues or friends not having the Masters happen right now? I know they're talking about possibly rescheduling it for November, but anybody in golf, especially a tour pro, is this time of year, it's Masters time, and it's such a big time in sports to get the golf going and the official kind of start of the season. How awkward or different is it without it around?
Yeah, it's really awkward. You know, I grew up in Pennsylvania, so in colder weather as well. I mean, the Masters was kind of, you know, the opening of golf season, really. You're looking at the TV and the flowers are blooming and, you know, you're just hoping for a good day of weather to go play golf. So I know you all get that in Canada as well. Mm-hmm. It's awkward. I mean, it's first major of the year, the only one that's played at the same course. It's an exciting time, and it's one of those events, you know, that I don't watch a ton of golf on TV, but you can bet when the majors are on, you can bet when Augusta's on that, you know, I'm going to watch television if I'm not playing or if I finish my round. You know, even when I was playing the Masters every year, at the end of my round on Sunday, you know, we'd all rush back home, the home we rented, and we'd all, you know, grab a beer and we'd kind of want to watch the finish of the event. So it's just one of those events you can't miss.
With Jim Furyk, when it comes to playing Augusta, you know, year after year after year, like you've been doing in your career, it's not possible to master the course, but is it possible to feel, do you feel more comfortable every single year? Do you feel like, okay, I should improve on my scores year in, year out because you're playing the course as often as you do compared to other majors?
Yeah, I think, you know, the severity of those greens and the slopes in those greens and the severity of the pin placements, I think over years you kind of learn places that you can miss it, where you can get away with it, places you can get the ball up and down from, and then there's others, you know, you just can't hit it here, or it's an instant bogey or an instant double. So I think there's a lot of, you know, a lot of course knowledge that goes into it, all young players like to, you know, they want to, when I was younger, you wanted to grab Jack Nicklaus for a practice round and pick his brain about the golf course, or I'm sure a lot of young players now, they want to play a practice round with Tiger Woods because he has so much insight and understands the golf course. And it's a tough place to learn. That's why not many folks have gone there and won in their first year. Has it been one or two? I think Fuzzy did it.
Not many, yeah.
Jim, what's the status of golf where you're at? I'm not sure if you're north right now or down in Jacksonville. Up here, it's like golf courses I don't even think are close to being open for what's going on. What's the status of kind of amateur or public golf where you're at?
Yeah, it's interesting. I live in Jacksonville, Florida. Most of the golf courses are open. You know, they've gone through. There's no bag stand. There's really no contact with other people. Just this week, there's a strict rule. If you are riding, which I think a lot of people are walking, but if you are riding, one person per cart. There's just not a lot of contact with people. I haven't gone to the golf course in 3 weeks. I've been home with my family and just don't feel it's necessary right now. I understand folks, you know, everyone's kind of, you know, they're feeling caged up a little bit and want to get out and get some fresh air. And I think that's important. Get some exercise is important. I think it's, you know, not only physically, but mentally. So I understand. It just, it's not something I've done at all, but a lot of the golf courses are open. It's very interesting.
With Jim Furyk, golf is such a unique game in terms of, you know, sharing tips or asking people for advice, but also, you know, people getting their back up when others give unsolicited advice about their swing, about their putting, about whatever. And it's unlike any other profession where if you're a beer league baseball player, you're not going to ask Mike Trout to help you with your swing. He's not going to do it. You know, if you play pickup basketball, LeBron can't help you. But it feels like golf, you know, I'm assuming over the years when you've played with amateurs, they probably asked you for advice. Is that comfortable? Do you hand out advice easily? How do you handle playing with amateur golfers?
I'll tell you, I was never trained to teach. I think I understand golf and understand the swing, but there's also a component to that of you still have to relay the message and do it in a do it in a good way, and that's something I haven't been trained to do. But you know,
also that amateurs suck.
Well, no, I play in a pro-am almost every week on tour, so you know, it's for me, the better the player is, the easier it is to help. I can relate a little bit more. Trying to go back to to being a beginning golfer, you know, 40 years ago is a little bit more difficult to kind of remember what I was going through and the struggles at that time. But I think you try to, you know, help out a little bit and lend a tip here and there. And sure, my son just walked by. Surely the hardest person in the world to teach is your kids or your wife or your loved ones. You know, it's the most difficult to give and take advice. And I know firsthand because I grew up, you know, my dad was a golf professional and still to this day is my teacher. So we went through some battles early in my career and when I was younger, as far as the jumping from the father son to the teacher student relationships. So now being old, much older, I realize most of those arguments and all of those arguments were my fault.
Right. Takes a while to get there. Basically, you got to have your own kids probably to really get there.
That's what I realized, yes.
Yeah, that's generally when it sinks in with Jim Furyk. So you're an RBC ambassador. You've been playing at the Canadian Open forever. We don't know what's going to happen with the Canadian Open because of the current circumstances, but how do you feel about the crowds up here and the courses up in Canada?
Golf courses have been phenomenal. The crowds have been great. I mean, Canadians love sports and they love golf, without a doubt. And, you know, every company bails out all their left-handed equipment up there. So,
right, there's a ton of it.
I'm amazed. It's like when I go and play in pro-ams and I play with amateurs in Canada, if you only have, like, one left-handed player in your group, that happens once in a while. It's usually two, at least, and you just don't see that many lefties here. But the fans in Canada are wonderful. You know, I want to see St. George. I've never been there and would love to see the golf course. I've heard so much about it. But we'll have to wait and see what happens for the summer and our schedule. And we're just next week is the RBC Heritage, which is, you know, we'll see what happens to that as well. Obviously, we're not going to play, and whether that gets canceled or postponed, I don't know. But RBC has been a great ambassador for the PGA Tour and Titles II events, and I'm proud to be part of their team now for about 10 years.
Well, we'll leave it there, Jim. You know, be safe, stay healthy down there, and we look forward to seeing you back in the course. We really appreciate you finding time for us this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Had fun with you all, and hopefully everyone's safe and healthy up there as well.
You got
Good talking to you.
You too. There he is, Jim Furyk, future Golf Hall of Famer. That was fun,
yeah.
Man. He's great.
Yeah, he's got a lot of insight.
Oh, yeah.